It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guy.
Good morning. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Job. Barbecue Bob is back in the studio, out of the tree and back in the chair. Good to see you, Bob.
Welcome.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Have had some glorious hunts, lots of stories. Of course, I had a miss. My first deer, I'm always trying to take a doe first so I get meat. Last year I failed, but I'm really choosy about the doe. I don't shoot a hot doe. I don't shoot young does, no does with fawns. So basically I'm looking for the older, bigger gals, right? And I found the perfect one, and kind of like college.
Yeah.
So I found the perfect one. I'm 20 feet up. I draw back, and I look through my sight, and my pins are all mangled.
Oh.
Sometime between when I sighted it in and all the different trips, and I think I know when it was because it actually bounced a little bit once. It got around the guard and pushed the pins in. So I'm looking at this deer. I've got the perfect spot. I go, bah! She looks back, and I'm ready to go, and I'm like, oh, I think it's about here. And I had to hit the trigger because she's, you know, like, so smart. And I went just to the left for just a little bit. She took off like, I saw you, sucker.
Yeah. she heard the arrow go by.
So perfect.
Yep.
Sometimes I think you'd be better off with a longbow and just do instinctive.
Well, yeah. It happens. There you go. What's the lesson there is that you got to, you know, inspect your equipment on a regular basis, even though you're using it every day, because stuff happens.
Yeah.
Right?
And it does.
And when you got the moment where you've been waiting for, everything's got to come together, and oftentimes it doesn't.
Well, my last trip was over north of Port Huron, about an hour. My buddy has a big piece of land over there and a nice three-bedroom loft home, which is his deer camp. And it was so nice to have heat.
Yeah,
it was weird.
Right.
Shower and everything.
Right.
He even did my laundry.
Really?
Yeah.
Right. So there you go. I mean, that's hunting that Jop could do, because I don't sleep in a tent or lay on a cot or lay on the ground. I'm beyond that.
Yeah.
I outgrew it. And
yeah, you
I'm
could have been
it.
Camp cook.
Right. I could have done that too.
Well,
that I'm qualified
I'll
for.
I'll give you a heads up right now. Next weekend, I will be gone.
Okay.
Because I'm going rifle hunting.
Okay.
And I'm leaving Monday.
Okay, like 2 days from now?
Yeah.
Okay. You're getting a jump on it.
I am. I have to get a couple days of bow hunting in because I still want to get that doe. And then we'll see how I do for rifle, if I get a buck or not. It's so hard to tell. I'm only going to hunt 2 days with rifle. And you know.
So that opens on the 15th, and what day of the week is that? I don't even know.
I think it's a Wednesday.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So
you're going to be gone 2 weeks then? Because you're going to be gone next week to prep, and then if you're staying a couple days to gun hunt, that'll take you through.
It'll
be
I'll
close.
Come home Friday.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, I might be able to come in the studio Saturday, but I don't know.
Okay.
We'll see.
See how successful
we'll
you are.
We'll talk it over. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, I might just stay up there and just eat back straps.
Sure. Yeah, that'll get you through a couple meals. Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Yeah.
So much about that. I'm booking Christmas jobs right now, so if you guys have Christmas parties that you want catered, send your requests in, because there are limited weekends there that you can do those parties, and we have limited smoker space. So,
And you can do them during the week too if you've got if they're for your company or maybe at your house or something. That depending on the size,
these
we can
companies.
Usually accommodate them.
Yep,
yep. So it works either way.
That's kind of popular.
Yeah. Yep, and it doesn't always have to be pulled pork. There's lots of other items out there that are available. You know, you do chicken. I've done salmon. I've done, obviously, brisket. There's a lot of things that are...
Sausage is really popular.
Yep, I've done whole prime ribs for people. So it's all out there. And it's good.
Yes.
It's really good.
It certainly is.
Lots of sides, all that stuff.
So we're going to do a burger show, and I think Conrad might be, you know, have some valuable input. If nothing else, he could be wimpy, and he could pay us on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Pay right. You? Hey.
Right. It works the other way, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'm the employee here, folks.
Right. Yeah. I get it. Yeah.
Oh, now he wants free burgers.
Highly paid in burgers. Yeah. Right.
Wimpy point two.
Right.
2.0.
No, that's good. Well, burgers are, let's start, because it is venison season, with the burger itself. Have a friend that was out west and got an elk.
Wonderful.
And comes back with, you know, that's a lot of meat.
400 or 500 pounds
yeah,
of processed meat.
Yeah. And got lots of burger there. I think when you get game, whether it be venison in the form of an elk, or I guess class of venison is a deer, all the animals are, horned animals are called venison, I believe, mm-hmm. even yes. a moose or something like
correct.
That. So generally, the wild animals are a very, their muscles are very lean. They're not like domestic cattle that are raised for.
Sort of like yours, Randy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I might have a layer of fat like a big old domestic bull, but anyway.
We'll save that for the hog show.
Right, yeah. Steer. I got a steer. It's a steer me away from the refrigerator is what you got to do. But anyway, so you need to mix a little bit of fat with that, just because anytime I'll speak for me, anytime I've had a really great burger, it's, you know, like 80-20 or 85-15, meaning lean to
right.
to fat, because face it, fat is flavor.
Your best burger's 80-20.
Right.
Chuck.
Yep. Chuck. But so, you know, there's a lot of guys that are going to have a lot of venison, and if you take it to a processor and have it ground up, they'll generally add some pork fat.
If you ask them.
If you ask them to.
I would also tell you that I never do that, because I think pork fat to venison gives it a flavor that's not good for me.
Okay.
Don't care for it.
So what fat do you have put
if
in
If I'm going to do anything, I keep a lot of beef fat around.
Okay.
And that tends to be, I don't know, kind of goes with it better.
Sure. Sure. I mean, and that's why we're talking about it, because it's a personal preference thing that you can have that put in there. And
but now if you're making brats or something like that, venison brats, you're always using pork. But there's enough of it and enough spices that you don't notice the tincture or whatever that does to the meat. If you're just
that's a technical term, tincture.
If you're just using venison, you're looking for a certain wholesome flavor. And when you add pork fat, it takes it down almost like a weird aromatic road.
Yeah, we had a couple of weeks ago, you know, fall's here, so we had a chili cook-off at the office, right, just something to do on a Friday. And I woke up Thursday night, realized Thursday night, rather.
He woke up Thursday night.
Yeah, I woke up to the fact that I didn't have anything thawed out, any burgers, so I bailed on the chili and made a caramel apple cobbler, or I guess I should say Lisa did. But the point was,
this is how he cooks.
Friday.
Are you picking up on this?
The point,
Conrad?
Was
right. The point was Friday. We go. There's seven chilies at the office. The one that won got you know, there. I was like, say, there's 25 of us there, and they got like 20 of the 25 votes. So it was like.
Wow.
By far the superior chili.
And you liked it?
Yeah. And but here's the funny part is we're all sitting around and the votes are counted and she wins. And she goes, is this the time I should tell you that was venison in the chili? And like four of the ladies like, whoop, whoop. Yeah. It was hilarious.
I love her.
They all voted.
I want to meet her.
They all voted that was the best one. And she didn't let on until it was over.
Oh, but, this no, is a real woman here.
Yeah, it was funny. I had to laugh because it's like, oh, you loved it until you knew your head's in this,
isn't
not your
that
taste buds.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know right, a few anyway. People like that.
Right. Yeah. They just can't get over the thought of it, I guess. But
is anyway. This the time I tell you that was human flesh?
Yeah, right.
No.
No, not at all. But
gosh, Dahmer.
But anyway, so coming up next, we're gonna be talking a little bit about burgers eventually, and this is probably the segment to do it, but we've got, whether you use venison or beef or some other red meat to make your burger.
Mystery meat.
Right. Yeah. We've all had that, right? When we were in college, you never knew then, but you ate it. It was good anyway. So coming up next, it's not just another burger. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob here for the local hunting, fishing, and archery experts at Allen Bob Sports. The freshest, tastiest proteins you can put on the grill or in the smoker are the ones you harvest yourself. And Allen Bob Sports is everything you need to be a success in the field or on the water. For everything from bows and crossbows to firearms and fishing, go to Allen Bob Sports, now partnered with Millbrook Tech, just off US 131, exit 76, or shop online at millbrooktech.com.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. The grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I'll tell no
welcome lies. Back. You listen to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Jethro FM, country with a twist, all over this great southwest part of Michigan, and I think we're on in Lansing, if they still love us over there, and then in Big Rapids as well. So we've got the southwest part of the state covered, covered like a blanket we are. But anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about burgers, but before we get into the types of burgers, why don't we talk about some essential preparation that you need to do? Because there are some tips with regard to burger. Don't over-massage your meat. Is generally something easy. That's always good. You don't want to, I oftentimes mix seasoning in rather than on a burger. When I pull it out, I'll put it in a glass bowl and throw, you know, if you want to do...
French onion soup mix.
Well, that'll work. Or any kind of like that Montreal steak seasoning. A lot of people have a jar of that in their pantry. It's just kind of like a, you know, it's got garlic and salt and pepper and some other herbs
okay,
in it.
Okay, so... So a lot of people do like French onion soup.
Right.
And what
like
they'll...
Like the dry Lipton mix, yeah. Right? Yeah. And bless
excuse
you.
Me.
Yeah, that's all right.
Makes me sneeze just thinking of that nasty stuff.
Right.
So we have a friend that brags about that recipe like, you know, it's some NASA secret or something.
Right.
Well, the insult to injury is they mix the ever-loving you-know-what out of it.
Right.
So you've got these... sneeze burgers. Excuse me. Sorry, I don't have a sneeze button.
Boy, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
high-tech radio here.
Yeah.
But you watch, you heard that because Conrad wants that in there. If it wasn't there, he would eliminate it. He is that producer.
Editing.
Yep. So, no beep button.
Right.
You can tell they massage the heck out of it.
Right.
And then they're all sitting around, because I'm the grilling guy, you know, they're feeding me and they're just dying to hear me say, oh my gosh, this is like the greatest burger ever. And so, and my wife doesn't help me. Bob, what do you think?
Yeah, right. Oh, like, she's doing it. Yeah.
And so you got to lie.
Right. Right. Well, yeah. And so talk about when they over massage it, what happens?
Yeah, it gets tough.
Right.
It creates, it's just like bread dough. My mother taught my wife how to make bread like 40 years ago.
Right.
And she became like a scientist. My mom would do handfuls of this and handfuls of that. My wife's a court reporter, so she got her steno machine out, and she's taking down notes, and she's measuring. And so we have it in computerized format.
Sure.
But now my wife does it from memory.
Well, sure. Yeah, if you've done it 6,000 times like she has.
Right.
You kind of got it figured out.
But meat's the same way, though. If you take that bread dough and you overknead it, you're going to have a tough, hard bread. If you put too much yeast in a pizza dough, you're going to have hard pizza crust.
Right.
These little things you do to the foods that you're prepping, vegetables can be the same way, too. You know, do you put your salt on your meat too fast?
Right.
You want to, I personally, I like to put my salt on my burger as I'm right when I'm putting it on the grill.
Right.
Because we've done those salt tests before on steaks. I have, at least. And I came to the realization that the very best way to do it is right when I grill it.
Right.
Because if you put it on an hour before and then rinse off the slime and all that stuff, I don't know. It wasn't the same chuck flavor. There was so much penetration of the saltiness that I think it kind of overrides. And you know, we love ribeyes in our house like you do, and that's a chuck flavor in that steak.
Right.
Yep. And most of my ground meat has that very same flavor in it. These cows I get every year are just wonderful. And I don't want to molest that too much. I'm going to, the fourth segment, I'm going to do everything I told you not to.
Yeah.
But it's a really great recipe, and it blew my mind. So however they put it together, I'm going to give you all
So again, if I pull out a couple pounds of burger and I put it in a glass bowl and I cover it with a little bit of that Montreal steak, it's got a coarse salt, cracked pepper, garlic, a couple other things in it. It's an easy one to sprinkle.
You can't beat McCormick's.
Right. It's an easy one to sprinkle on there. But to your point, I do it, I turn it over a couple times, mix that stuff in, then I'm making patties, right? And they're going to go to the grill in less than 5 minutes from the time that I put that seasoning on there. I'm not doing that and throwing those back in the refrigerator for 3 hours. It doesn't need it.
Why would you?
Why would you? Right?
Unless you're making them the night before and you have to keep them cool.
Then I probably would season them on top when I'm going to put them on the grill. I don't want all that salt in that meat draining the juice out of the meat. It seems to absorb it a little bit or cut it loose and let it drain.
It doesn't take long at all.
Right. So that's why I'm going to keep the salt off right. I'm with you, just like you said.
But you said put Montreal, that has a lot of salt in it.
It does, but where I'm going is it's the timing, is that it's not going to be on the meat 5 minutes before it goes on the grill.
Okay.
I'm not going to mix it up, throw it in the fridge, and then make patties the next day.
I see.
I don't want it there, right? So
my old buddy Rob Russell,
right?
I used to complain about McCormick's, and he said, you know, if it weren't for the McCormick family, we wouldn't have the spices around the world we have now. They went around the world and set up spice mills in every continent.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm learning again. This is amazing.
Yep.
That I never thought of it. And now I never diss McCormick anymore. I used to think, oh, come on. There's a reason that Montreal steak seasoning is the number one steak seasoning in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's really good.
Right.
It's got things like dill and thyme and,
right. You
know, things you wouldn't maybe necessarily think to put on a burger.
That's exactly right. So we've got it prepped there. You know, I got a griddle. Bob makes fun of me with my Blackstone griddle, but it's a fun tool for the right things. But a lot of people make these smash burgers. They're thin, and you cook them hot, and they get like a little crust on the outside.
So how do you do that?
How do I do what?
Smash burger.
Same thing. But don't patty it out. I
Did
put it in a ball.
Did you buy the press?
What?
Did you buy the press?
I just use the spatula.
Use your palm, don't you?
Well,
brute.
A palm. Well, no, because I put them on like a tennis ball size and shaped round like that. You put it on the griddle, and then you take. I got two spatulas that are 6 inches long, 3 inches wide, the metal ones, right?
Yep.
Put one on top, put another one on at 90 degrees, and just push down, and it flattens it right out on the griddle. Okay, hot, right? So then only flip it once. Is you let that cook and get that crust.
What are you lubing up the griddle with?
Generally, Old World Olive Company's garlic EVO, because I like a little bit of garlic profile on a burger.
I think they should come out with a bacon EVO.
You know what? Don't think. I have it in my pantry. You should, too. They have it now.
They do?
They do. And
that was totally just
I know, but no, I have it. And I was just down there a week ago and picked up some more stuff.
Oh, my
God. And that was one of
them. How do you like it?
Oh, it's good. It's an artificial bacon flavor, but you can taste it in there.
Okay.
But anyway.
Like they make doggy treats out of that kind of bacon.
But anyway, that smash burger, flip it over once and let it caramelize. It's the first side that generally gets that real crispy stuff on it.
Yeah.
When you flip it over to the other side, you don't want to overdo it and cook it to death, right? So then I only get crust on one side of my smash burger, and maybe I'm doing it wrong, I don't know, but I don't like it.
Well,
beyond that,
you know,
that
one
second
thing,
side.
One
long
thing
enough.
You could do is when you flip it to a spot that hasn't had a patty on it recently.
Yep, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, and that'll be hotter. All right, well, we got through preparation. We didn't get through any of the flavors of burgers, so we're going to do that next. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guy.
Welcome back. It's the Burger Show, and we've not talked much about any kind of burgers, so I suppose it's time to get started. But I'm Jop, and he is Barbecue Bob, back in the chair after sitting in a tree for a couple weeks, but I understand that it might happen again next week.
It's going to have to.
Yeah, so here we go.
I'll tell you what, this weather right now is so stinking nice.
Yeah.
If you haven't gotten up in a tree yet, I just tell you, get up there.
Yeah. Anybody want to co-host this show with me, give me a call because I know my normal standby, Chaz, is going to be in a deer shack with you. Maybe not with you, but also.
And, maybe you could come in and argue with yourself next week.
Well, you know what? I do that every day. I do that every day when I get up.
You're not alone.
Or bring the wife in.
That would not make good radio.
He wouldn't get to talk.
That would not make good radio. No, that, you don't want to do that.
Yeah. Oh, man, this just took an ugly turn.
Olive Burger, Bob. Yeah. Olive Burger. Focus back there.
Okay, Wimpy. You know, Chef Jeff used to make a phenomenal.
Probably still does. I just haven't had one in a while.
Now, I'm not talking about the Chef Jeff at Sneakers and Lowell. He's good, too.
No.
But we're talking about our old friend.
Jeff Dewey.
Jeff Dewey.
Right.
And when he had Buds there across from Sobey,
right,
he made just an absolutely spot on perfect olive burger, and I just watched him. I got one every week,
right?
Because I just love them,
right?
And how
one of my favorite burgers too.
Yeah, and how often do you actually think to make one for yourself? I mean, not enough,
right?
And to have the nice big olives and yada yada. Well, he would always grease up those buns and put them on the griddle. Big deal. Get them crispy.
Right.
Get some soft. If you have stale bread or buns that you're using, that's a perfect way to freshen them up. Every restaurant does that. It's not because they want you to have the artificial butter on your grill. You know, they want it to be soft.
Right.
And it's probably a stale piece of bread when they're putting it on.
Well, it could be. Not everybody.
No. But then make your burger however you like. I mean, I personally make about a third of a pounder because I get my packs made up in a pound and a half. And that gives me four burgers out of a pack, and they're monsters. And I love them, monster.
Yep.
So I'm going to grill that thing up the way I want it. I'm just going to salt, pepper it. And I very often put a little garlic salt or thyme or something like that. But then I'm going to put Swiss cheese on it and probably two slices, and I'm going to let that melt slowly. I'm going to toast up those buns a little bit, and I'm going to grossly slather my Hellman's mayonnaise on it. It's going to get a generous portion of Hellman's.
Right.
And I'm going to slice up some big olives, nice thick olive steaks.
Right.
And I'm just going to make a huge mound of them. And I'm going to put that baby together and pray it doesn't fall over. And
right.
I'll tell you what, it's photo ready. You look on my Facebook page or the Grilling Guy, you're going to see burgers like that for decades.
Right. Yep. So building it. Got the bun, you put your mayonnaise on the bottom bun. Do you put the olives on then, or do you put the burger on and then
olives go on top, and there's mayo on the top bun
too.
You don't have to put it on the bottom bun. I kind of like to put the Swiss cheese flipped over. So my Swiss cheese will be up. I'll take the bottom of that bun and I'll set it on the cheese, And then I'll take the top of the bun. I'll put tons of mayo on it, put all the olives on there, and I'll take my spatula underneath that burger and just slide it right on there beautifully, flip it over. Voila.
Okay. Great. Because I've seen
no lettuce, no tomato, none of that trash.
I've seen it done where the burger, the olives sit on top of the burger, and then the two pieces of Swiss go on top of the olives to create glue, right? And then you put mayo on your bun, and when you know the cheese melts and holds the olives, put the bun on there, and there you. So the olives and the Swiss cheese are on top. There's nothing on the bottom, and just that's your burger.
Mm.
It's just easier for me to eat. It doesn't because.
Well, you're only going to have one bite anyway. You're just going to suck the thing down.
Right, right.
I've never seen you spill anything on your shirt.
Right, yeah, exactly. You know, you can twist that up with, what about a bacon burger? Everybody likes bacon. And I was at a business meeting, and it was a breakfast, and the comment that, you know, you sit at a table of six or eight people, and there was, I don't know, maybe 10 of those tables around, but more than one person was like, hey, cheers to the chef because the bacon was crispy. It wasn't rubbery, but it wasn't so crispy that it crumbled when you bit it. You know what I mean? So it wasn't overdone. It was just done perfectly. And for me, that's what I like on a bacon burger is that piece of bacon that is, it breaks when you bite it. You don't have to rip it because then it your burger falls all over. But it's not so overdone that it crumbles.
It's not carbon.
Right, yeah, that it crumbles. And if you've had that kind of bacon that's crispy but not crumbly,
mm-hmm.
That's
I would tell you
piece
that
bacon
thin bacon's the best way to get that, too.
Yeah.
The thicker stuff tends to give you a little bit of jerky effect when you're
right. Yep.
making it like that.
Yep.
But
that's my favorite kind of bacon on a burger, when I have bacon on a burger. I don't want it rubbery where it chews and it pulls all the other toppings off because you didn't bite all the way through it. Kind
Is
of
that
thing.
Bacon halal?
What, I don't know what you mean by that.
Okay.
Okay.
In Islam, Muslim meat has to be halal.
Oh.
And they don't eat pork, so that was a joke.
Oh.
But speaking of
Over my head,
yeah,
sorry.
Okay. Well, I went to a Muslim wedding last weekend.
I saw some video of you all dancing.
Our good friend, he's like a son to us,
yep.
Yusuf, is from Dearborn, and he is one of Jordan's best friends from college.
Right.
And he's just become a part of our family. I mean, literally yep. comes to everything. Well, he married this beautiful girl, and congrats to them. His parents are wonderful. They've raised four of the greatest kids you'd ever want to meet. Very productive people, and they know how to make money. This parking lot was like a car show.
Yep.
There
cool.
were 900 people there. I heard only 800.
Right.
But it was like there were plenty of Rolls and Bentleys and
sure.
just amazing bling, parking lot bling. And then my Yukon.
Right.
But it was a wonderful, wonderful event. And just wanted to say congratulations to Yusuf and
so
wonderful
let's
wedding.
Go down that rabbit tail. Take me one more. What was
right.
the food?
So here's the thing. What I noticed is that culture comes around the kids in a way that is embarrassing to us, because what they do for these kids, they bring the uncles all come in and lift up the son, and they dance around with them, and then they do it with the dad of the son of the groom, and it make you cry when you watch all these people carrying around two grown men. I mean, Yusuf's a big guy.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be way worse. He's like two of you.
Right. Two of you. He's not Italian, but he's two of you.
So anyway, just the music was fantastic. So for the appetizers, I was full by the time the main course came along, because for appetizers, they had some wonderful, fresh, raw kibbeh. They had, you know, really good pita bread, of course. They had a hummus that was fantastic. I mean, just absolutely. And the garnishments around all that stuff. And then grape leaves that I'm told were really super, but I never got one because they were all stolen before they got around to me.
Right. So
family style dining.
Right.
Anyway, quite a segue there, but I did want to, I know Yusuf listens to this podcast, and he's one of our great promoters. He's moved out to Boston, and hopefully, Yusuf, you can get this show popular in Boston.
Yeah,
I don't know
yeah.
how we're doing out there.
Right. Right. Well, we're here. We're in West Michigan.
Boston beer.
Right. They got some.
We did bacon. We did
a la burger.
Yeah,
right.
But you want to talk about?
Do you use American cheese on your burgers?
Never. Just for kids.
Yeah, right. The Kraft slices.
Yeah,
that's really not cheese. I gotta. it's not. Take a Bic lighter.
Yeah, because
take a Bic lighter, right, and try to melt that with a flame, and it'll crackle and pop, and it will not melt. Dude, I've done it. I heard somebody tell me that. I'm like, no way. Undo a slice, hold a lighter right under
not
the corner.
Not Velveeta, but the sliced
American slices
stuff.
Yeah, the Kraft
must be
American
different
slices
than Velveeta, because that melts like a dog.
Yeah, I don't know, but try it. Just unrip a piece, put a flame under the corner, and go. It doesn't melt. It just cracks.
Is that like
pops.
A Twinkie where you can leave it on the counter for 3 years?
Yeah, right. I think there's something in there, but it isn't cheese. I know that. It's
probably not
cheese.
Real good for you.
Well, yeah, I would say that. But anyway, so we're getting near the end of the segment here. Coming up next, we're going to hit some stuffed burgers, and we talked a little bit about how to form your burger, but the temperature. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of, to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you. Now hit me.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're talking about burgers. Barbecue Bob and I are, we talk about a lot of things between the segments as well. But we would be remiss if we didn't mention that this show is playing on Veterans Day. Bob is a veteran. Thank you for your service. And all of you that are listening, thank you for your service as well. Because in times like these, where we are watching skirmishes and wars around the world, and there's a lot of political unrest.
And rumors of wars.
Right. There's a ton of political unrest in the world, even on our college campuses, which I shake my head at. But anyway, long story short, we're forever blessed and forever grateful to have a military like the United States has, which really lets us all sleep easier at night. And know that when I wake up the next morning, there's somebody watching over me that's a lot better at doing that than I am for myself.
Yeah.
So thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Of course.
So,
hey, I have to entertain you just a little bit, because you tend to kind of lose your mind when I talk about my log building because it's going so slow. Well, let me tell you, I have verifiable proof of why it's going so slow, and doing things by yourself is ridiculous. And I found out as soon as I got home from my trip, I don't even know what day it is. As soon as I got home, like the very next day, I'm up trying to get more logs up and my purlins across so I can put the steel on the roof. And I'm on my 9-foot ladder at the highest point doing something of a reach, you know, trying to be careful. And my ladder went in a different direction than my body.
Yep.
And I literally came down on my back. I was so afraid and so out of wind and not knowing what I broke. I'm really banged up right now. I'm really sore.
Yep.
But I have a hot tub, so that's good. I didn't break anything. But I'm telling you, my shoulders and everything took it. And that was, I think my feet were about 6-7 feet off the ground. And the thing just went sideways, and I literally fell flat.
Did the log line on you too?
No, the log was already in place.
Oh.
I was trying to put a rafter in, and no, luckily, that could have been great.
Okay, at our age, two things. One, you have no business doing this by yourself. And secondly, you're smart enough to know that your ladder needs to be on solid ground. And it probably was, but it's just a push sideways, and it came off from under
you're
you.
You're up that high, right? You're at risk.
Yeah, but slow or not, if it takes another month and you get a guy out there to help you, then take the month.
Yeah,
because you could be still laying there, or you could have fallen in on a log or a stump or whatever.
Anything. That was the miracle. Here's the legs of this big ladder,
right?
And I didn't fall on them. I fell right between them.
Yeah,
and holy cow. I heard a crunch.
Yeah, sure.
Something didn't end up well.
Right.
Anyway, so how about a big fat Mediterranean burger while you're laying on your back in the woods?
Well, you're going to help me with that one because...
I printed it off. I stole this from somebody years ago, and I don't remember where I had it, but whoever made it just did a superb job, and I managed to get a copy of the recipe. They used... ground sirloin.
I'll tell you what,
the ground sirloin was so good. I wouldn't argue with them, but you know, we've already talked about Chuck being better. Finely chopped medium sized onion, chopped garlic, a 12-ounce jar of roasted peppers, and that's the red peppers, and I use those for all sorts of things. And I do roast my own.
They come in a liquid.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yep, yep.
And that liquid is largely runoff from when you roast them. You get that, a lot of water out of them. And so you chop those up. It takes some breadcrumbs, some extra virgin EVO, minced basil, chopped fresh oregano, chopped fresh rosemary, and salt and pepper, and then you mix all those together and make your patties, and you combine the sirloin, onions, garlic, roasted pepper, I'll put it on the website, into patties. Then you take the mayo, lemon juice, garlic, and capers for the sauce, and you cook your burgers up, you put your cheese on, and then you put sliced artichoke hearts on top.
Wow, this is Mediterranean.
It is.
Capers and artichoke hearts.
Oh, my gosh.
And...
I'm telling you, it just
explodes. Can you taste the burger?
Loads. You don't have to. You taste in the Mediterranean.
Right. Wow. That sounds good, I guess.
While you still can before they blow it to the smithereens.
Right. So the flip side of this is you're a hotter food guy than me, spicy hot.
Yeah.
And
I'm just a hotter guy in general.
Well, yeah,
it's
okay.
Been said.
We'll go with that. Yeah. a Southwest burger is something that is really good. You can get your heat two ways, with seasonings or with vegetables, meaning peppers.
Yep.
Right? And you got to be careful not to use too much of either, but some of both is really good.
But your seasonings that are hot are vegetables.
Well, yeah, powdered, right, exactly.
Yep.
So generally a pepper
same,
based.
Same.
Yep. Generally a pepper based thing.
So yeah, Southwestern burger. I had, and I didn't write up a recipe for this. I've done it several different ways, but again, McCormick's makes a great Southwestern. It should be a McCormick show.
Sure.
We need to talk to them. they have a wonderful spice. If you're gonna do a jerk food, McCormick's has a great jerk seasoning.
Right.
So when you don't know, just go to a store that has a lot of spices and try and find something pre-made. You don't have to reinvent the wheel every time, but you make yourself a nice big cheeseburger. And if it's Southwestern, I'm going to probably just go with a white provolone. Provolone's mm-hmm. wonderful. I might go with a white cheddar, but, there's going to be so much spice. I don't think you're going to taste the cheese. You just kind of want it for texture and a little bit of a complimentary, flavor.
Yep.
I'm going to put jalapenos, and I'm going to put fresh jalapenos on this. I might slightly grill them, use a white cheddar, and then I'm going to make up some guac.
Okay.
And we have on our website my daughter Maggie's guacamole recipe,
mm-hmm.
and she got it from a Mexican restaurant she worked at in Jacksonville when she was in college. And I'm telling you, it is the best guac I've ever had, to the point to where half the time I won't even eat other people's guacs because they just don't measure up.
Right.
But this one is fantastic, and it's basically avocado, which are ridiculously priced now, lime, cilantro, white pepper, garlic, minced tomato, and lime.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, that is just, and sea salt, and it's just got a bang to it.
Yeah. So you put some of that on the burger.
Yep.
With your, I would go grilled jalapenos versus fresh. Changes the texture a little bit.
Softens them up a little bit.
But it also takes a little bit of the heat out of them. When you cook them, they get a little more mild. So if you like a big bite, and then maybe you go with the purely fresh ones. They haven't ever hit any heat. But if you want to soften them up a little bit and give them a little less heat, you might throw them in a pan, cast iron, for a couple minutes.
Yeah, I might even pickle a red onion and do a little pickled red onion on that too.
Yep.
I don't think it would be wrong.
Those are good.
You're supposed to use hatch peppers, but I just don't care for the flavor of hatch. It does nothing for me. It's just okay.
Yeah.
And people make a big fuss out of it because they're limited.
Right.
Well, guess what?
They come
electricity.
From...
If you've got an electric car, electricity is limited too. Don't make a big fuss over it. Just push it.
Wow, where'd that
see
come from?
See how I segued there?
I don't know.
Segways are electric too.
Yeah. They are. Take you all over the city in one of those things, right?
They got cops riding them, RoboCops.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's a Southwestern burger. You can do so much with it. You can stuff your burgers. You know, if you're going to do stuffed burgers, what would you do?
You know, be careful and not put too much stuff in them because they fall apart when you're cooking them.
Much stuff.
But whatever you like in them. I mean, you know, there's cheese is always good between a couple patties. When you bite into it, it kind of oozes out. The olives could go in there, but again, not too many. Any vegetable. I think if you could dice some onion in there. You could. I wouldn't put the lettuce in. I put the lettuce on because it gets slippery. But there's a variety of things. What do you put in them, Bob?
I never make them.
No,
I've done it a couple times. It's okay. It's the gimmick.
And you gotta be careful to seam them around the edge because they'll fall apart and they'll never cook together. If they don't.
I seem to remember that.
Yep.
All right. Hey, listen, don't forget to go to thegrillingguys.com and check out all our sponsors on the right and get your Christmas presents there. It's coming up, boys.
All right, you've been listening to The Grilling Guys each and every week. We appreciate you tuning in. Get out there, get your big buck, and be safe in that tree. We'll talk with you next week.
See ya.